breakfast with half. It's the big yarn.
Yes, there is a very, very big story that has made headlines over the last 12 hours or so, and that is in regards to Rose Hill Gardens and the fact that they may not be racing there for much longer because there was a report, or certainly a tweet that went out late last night from Chris O'Keefe, which suggests that it will be finishing up in around 5 years' time, and there'll be an investment made, or the racetrack and the area will be sold for housing, and it's expected that it'll raise $5 billion from the development, and then there'll be an investment in training in other facilities, and a lot's going to change. The landscape's certainly going to change in New South Wales, and one man who it will certainly affect is Richard Freedman, and he's always very good with his time and happy to share his views and opinions, so I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say about this story. Morning to you, Rich. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. You guys all well?
Yes, we're very well down here in Melbourne. What was your reaction to the news that broke yesterday? And were you surprised? Because it certainly shocked a lot of us racing fans when we first saw that tweet.
Well, Peter McGoran, who's the chairman of the ATC, came out and saw the trainers at Rose Hill yesterday and explained what was about to break. And I think he spoke to Will and I from about 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. I went to a function here in the Hunter Valley at 6 o'clock, and by the time I got there, everybody was asking me about it. So the word got around pretty quickly.
What's your view? How did you react when you first heard the news and he told you that things were going to change?
Well, didn't kind of see it coming, but I had heard a whisper weeks before that Rose Hill, rather than Canterbury, was more likely to be sold at some stage. But you hear a lot of those stories, so I didn't think much about it. When Peter told us, we sort of sat there and thought, well, this you know, it sounds like something positive, but it's an announcement. You know, there's a lot of water to go under the bridge yet. There are only 7 training businesses at Rose Hill. Chris Waller, the Hawkses, us, Gerald Ryan, Annabelle Neesham, Chris, Lee Curtis and David Payne. So there's not a big number of trainers to be relocated. But if it happens, I mean, 5 years is a long time. We get 2 changes of government in New South Wales in that time. And, you know, who knows what changes over the course of the next 5 years. So really, at this point in time, I think the trainers at Rose Hill who are affected, and there's only 7, and we've got to do really the heavy lifting for all this benefit that goes to everybody else. You know, we're sort of feeling a little bit vulnerable, but, you know, it's a long way off and a lot's got to be discussed.
So it's from sort of reading between the lines, it sounds like you're not totally against the prospect of having to move your operation somewhere else.
Well, it's like this. I guess it's like, you know, selling your house. You'll move if there's substantial benefit in it for you. If it's only as good or marginally better, you probably don't want to move anywhere. But you know, if it will be substantially better and the industry can get a substantial benefit out of it along the way, I think many of us would be you know, open to doing it. But you know, there's people's lives at stake here. I mean, Lee Curtis has 2 young kids who are in schools that they like. He lives near the track. He'd have to relocate his whole life. Most of the trainers would have to move not only their stable, but where they live as well. So while it's only a small number, and, you know, a small number of trainers may be easy to ignore, but, you know, the racing industry likes to pride itself on looking after people in the industry when they're vulnerable, and, you know, we're hopeful that the same would apply to these trainers.
In terms of what would need to happen, like with the redevelopment of another track, is Canterbury the logical track which they would need to invest in to be able to support Randwick moving forward?
Well, my understanding is that both Randwick and Warwick Farm would get significant upgrades. The track would be relayed out so that they have longer straights and better starting points and things like that. That's part of the plan for both those tracks. Randwick would have an upgrade to their stabling and probably an expansion of their stabling at Randwick. So, you know, there's a lot of balls in the air in this project and a lot of moving parts. And until all that's sorted out over the next few years, You know, we don't really know where it's going to land.
So Warwick Farm would be the course that would be the, I guess, the number two. Is that what has been communicated to you?
No, nothing of that level of detail has been communicated to us. You know, whether it's number two or number three, or, you know, they're all equal, who knows? You know, literally we had a half an hour meeting with Peter yesterday afternoon, and you know, all we could glean was what we could get in that time. He was obviously trying to see every trainer, so he couldn't spend hours and hours and hours explaining it to us. And, you know, they knew that the news would break pretty quickly after that, so... But we've got about the same level of detail as everybody else.
Mm. Well, it's obviously a racetrack, Rose Hill Gardens, that it's got a lot of history attached to it. It plays host to some of our most famous races, including the Golden Slipper. How difficult is it to be able to sort of put that to the side, to be able to make decisions that are going to be better for the sport moving forward? And I know you're not the one making the decisions, but can you move forward without a Golden Slipper at Rose Hill Gardens? Can you actually picture a landscape where that is the case?
Well, once again, if the benefit to the entire industry is substantial, then you can pretty much envisage anything happening. I mean, it's a 1,200-metre race. There will be other good courses that have 1,200-metre courses that race could be run on. It's still the Golden Slipper. It'll still be the premier two-year-old race, just won't be run on a different track. I know there are a lot of people who are very concerned about the heritage of the track and races and things like that, and they have every right to be. But I'm a bit more pragmatic. I think races can be run anywhere, but the benefit has got to be substantial for the industry, and particularly for the people who are being asked to do the heavy lifting by moving their lives and their businesses for the rest of the industry.
Have you had many conversations with some of the other trainers at Rose Hill Gardens? Have you had a bit of a team meeting yet?
No, I'm up in the Hunter looking at yearlings, and Will's down there this morning. I said to Will, much chatter? He said, nah, it's pretty quiet here. He said, you know, 5 years is a long time. So, look, I mean, in real terms, the horses that are in training at Rose Hill right now, most of those horses will have finished their racing career by the time any of this happens, if it happens.
Mm. What's the new training facility at Horsley Park, which was, I guess, part of the reports there yesterday, is where they'll be spending a lot of money and investing in, you know, heavily. What's your view on being able to sort of set up there? Does that seem appealing? If you're going to go anywhere, does that seem like a nice fit?
Well, it's impossible to say. It just depends on what is required there, what is eventually built there, if anything. You know, will we have to share it with the equestrian community because our agendas are not always aligned? There's far more questions than answers at the moment. You know, who would be going there? How many trainers would be there? What sort of tracks would be there? We don't know any of these things.
Mm. Does it in any way, shape or form, for you personally, Richard, make you go, you know, would this be a time for me to potentially transition out of the sport and fully hand it over to Will, or would you be wanting to be part of the process in moving? Would that impact your position in the sport at all?
Well, I'm probably not going to make, you know, life decisions on the radio 12 hours after I've heard this news. So I think there's a lot of water got to go under the bridge before we get to any of that sort of thing. It's as I say, it's just not enough information at the moment.
Might have just cut out there, I think, there with his line, but we're not getting back on the line. It's a huge story. It's going to impact so many different people up there in Sydney, and all of those Rose Hill trainers, as you say, Richard. It would have come as a bit of a shock there yesterday when you were first told of the news. I think he might have dropped down. He's in the Hunters, so we might just let him go there. But very interesting to get his thoughts. And you can hear, you know, he used the word vulnerability a couple of times there, didn't he, Al? And I think that would be an obvious way to be feeling, you know, in the aftermath of being told that you need to pick up your life and move somewhere else. I know it's in the same city, but this is a training precinct that they've long been at for, you know, a number of years, and it's got a lot of history attached to it. So it's a big change for a lot of very big and important figures in the industry.
It is indeed. And as Richard mentioned, there's only a handful of trainers at Rose Hill, and Chris Waller is one of them. So Chris Waller, Team Hawks, Richard and Will Freeman. And another one that he referenced there, Cherie and Lee Curtis. Now, we spoke to Cherie, when I say we, the Thoroughbred Report, who I write for, last night. She's quoted as saying, "It has come as a complete surprise today. My greatest concern is how this shutdown will affect our young family, having been there for 20 years and being well settled in the community." So that just goes to show you that how it impacts people at different levels. So obviously you've got, you know, Wallers and Friedmans and Hawks and these sort of guys, but the Curtises, who have been in racing for a long time, obviously it impacts them, as we said, with their kids and being close to schools and that sort of thing. So it does impact people at different levels.
And we did see it happen here as well in Melbourne, obviously with the Caulfield trainers being moved out of their home. So it has been done before, and I wonder whether or not that you could sort of draw a little bit of confidence from what happened down here. And a lot of those guys spoke really highly of the way that when they were moved out of Caulfield, that their new training homes, in the end, it was actually a good result in a lot of ways. So. Yep.
So, and as Richard said there during your chat with him, a lot of the details are still sketchy. Mm. There's a lot to play out here. But Peter McGoran, the ATC chairman, will join us, or speak to you, or you'll speak to him just out of the 7:30 news. So in about 15 minutes from now, Peter McGoran, the ATC chairman, live here on RSN Racing and Sports. So that'll be good. Hopefully he can shed some more light on the situation.
Absolutely. We'll get our racing editor, Matty Stewart, to dive in as well to share his views on things as this story continues to develop.